Well, good morning, everyone. It is great to be back here again. And all of you guys are probably in the midst of your NFL drafts at this point right now. Jimmy, Jed, good morning. Welcome, everyone.
Good morning. Hey, Jed.
Good morning. Hey, good morning.
So any new news? Jed, how many more drafts have you taken? Jim, have you done any more drafts in the last week?
I've got three more coming up, but I haven't done any since ours this past weekend. And actually, you guys need to stay really close to the news because you could take advantage of people not knowing, for example, the Travis Etienne injury and now James Robinson. That could be a steal in any draft this coming week.
Yeah, I'm kicking myself for not picking up or not going after a James Robinson because he was available in a lot of these drafts and just sitting there. And I remember going after Etienne early on.
Yeah, but at the same time, who would have known? Because Etienne was clearly seen as the favorite as well, too. Hey, before I go to the news and notes of the day, Jed, you talk about those who aren't following the latest news. I'm in a fantasy league with a bunch of guys from Japan, all right?
Oh.
And I don't think they know anything about football. One guy says, hey, this is a soccer fantasy league, right? I said, oh, my gosh, I'm going to kill these guys. It is a 18 league with a group of different guys from Japan. No, no, not 18. Eight person league.
Oh, okay.
It will be so easy.
How did you get hooked up with that?
I'll tell you offline.
Okay.
Yep. I'll tell you offline.
I think you can be a part of it because they originally wanted 10 people on their team, and I guess they couldn't get two more, so they end up with eight.
Oh, I got too many leagues already. My wife's like, you have a limit. You can't take more than four.
But with that said, right, if you are in like five leagues, you're probably really paying attention to two, focusing in the other three, okay, whatever.
But I always get – what I don't like about it is I get confused. And that's why I end up trying to draft the same people because otherwise you see – like I don't – when you're watching the games on Sunday, I like knowing that, oh, I got points for that. And sometimes when you have too many players, then you're like, wait, did I get points or not? I don't know.
Okay, one last thing before I move. Jim, are you more of a red zone person or do you like to watch each game and flip around to Channel 2, CBS, NBC?
I think I've become more of a red zone person, partly just because of the fantasy. But like if the Bears are playing, I kind of want to just watch that game. But that's maybe the only exception.
Oh, I love the red zone. Unfortunately, I do not have it anymore. Red zone is awesome. If I had it, that's exactly what I would watch. But I will say it's different watching red zone than sitting down and watching a whole game. And I do enjoy, like you said, if it's the Bears or if there's like a really good matchup, I like to just sit and watch the whole game.
Yeah, for me, the only reason I watch red zone, no commercials, 8 hours of uninterrupted football.
You want to stay married, Tommy. Be careful.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, okay. I know. So they were doing an interview with the host of the Red Zone, right? So one of the questions that they asked him is they said, well, when do you use the bathroom or when do you go and get a bite to eat? And he says, pay attention. If it's a long extended, you know, in-game coverage, that's when I'm usually in the bathroom.
Hey, let's go over to our news and notes of the day. Let's start off with Travis Etienne. Jed, I'll start with you because what you referred to as well. He had a Lisfranc injury that he now has season-ending injury. James Robinson, how high are you drafting him at this point? He did a great job last year. Trevor Lawrence is named a starter. How high is he going in your draft?
I was just looking. If you look at the running backs, I think he instantly jumps into the top 15. Which puts him right next to J.K. Dobbins, Chris Carson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I don't think that's a mistake. In fact, I'm almost tempted to push him even higher. And here's the thing, Tommy. You were saying that we wouldn't have known this last week. Last week, even, I was saying that I would draft him over Etienne. Because they've been saying that he's going to be the first and second down back and that Etienne would be the change of pace third down back. And I think Robinson, once he gets going, they're just going to have to stick with him. And now, obviously, that's the case. So I don't know. In my mind, I think he's a very high, right outside the top 10.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jim.
I don't know if you knew this, right? James Robinson last year was the number five scoring running back in fantasy. And I mean, like I said, I think you're right. Maybe I was trying to be too cute, but Robinson's a good running back. And especially with a line that Jacksonville has that is not good at protecting their quarterback, they're going to need Robinson to come out of the backfield to relieve some pressure off of what do you call it? Trevor Lawrence. Pressure off Lawrence. But okay, so it was also interesting. I was reading some of the Jacksonville news, which I don't even know why I was reading it. And some of the articles coming out was, do we even want to start Trevor Lawrence because our line is so bad? And all they're going to do is just like hit him all day. And so I think one of the hope is that Robinson will relieve him a little bit.
Yeah. Now, Chad, and before that, I'm going to go over to Jimmy later on. Chad, Carlos Hyde, is he even on your radar then?
No, no, not me. I mean, yeah, to me, there's a lot of other RB2s I would look at before Carlos Hyde. So unless an injury happens or something, but yeah. Robinson was really healthy too last year. I mean, he had, I think there was a couple games he missed, right? But overall, very durable back. So I would stick with them.
Jim, on Wednesday, it was reported that Sony Michel is being traded to the Los Angeles Rams. Mm-hmm. Does that hurt in terms of where you see Sony Michel affecting what's his name? Darrell Henderson.
You know, I don't know. He's still on the waiver wire, at least on the – and I've actually looked at him a couple of times asking myself, is it time to pick up Sony Michel?
Someone got him in our league.
Oh, did he? Oh, someone yeah, got. Someone oh, got they, oh, yeah. They traded. They let go. Oh, yeah. They let go of Kenyon Drake for him, mm-hmm. which I was also wondering. Should I pick up a Kenyon Drake? but here's the thing: they traded a fourth round pick for Sony Michel. Darrell Henderson already has an injured thumb. You know they're going to try to give him some relief during the year. I do think that Sony Michel will take some goal line touchdowns from Darrell Henderson. And he's actually also a pass-catching back that they can utilize in two back sets, right? So, I don't know. I mean, there's some intrigue in it. I haven't picked him up yet, but there's some intrigue in him.
Jim, one thing I would say, in the press conference post the Sony Michel trade, head coach Sean McVay says Darrell Henderson is going to have a very big role in our offense. So that's something to note as well, too. Jim, I also know you like Damian Harris. Does that mm-hmm. move Damian Harris up in your draft?
Well, I mean, clearly he's the number one running back now, right? There have been talks, and I get to look at his name, but there has been talks about the backup to Damian Harris after James White that some people are really intrigued by. But I think Darian Harris vaults up. I do think that James Robinson vaults up. So it does change a number of the draft boards that we're all looking at as well, too.
Just so you know, the person that Jimmy is referring to is rookie running back Ramondre Stevenson is the primary backup. That's Ramondre Stevenson as a yeah. primary backup. And that might be someone to look at just because a lot of times Bill Belichick does like that committee approach with running backs as well, too.
People said really good things about him. Yeah, they've said a lot of good things about him as a backup.
Yeah. Jen, let me ask you. Teddy Bridgewater was named the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos. Who does this hurt more? Does it hurt a Courtland Sutton, the big play wide receiver? Does it really help Jerry Jeudy, who does a very good job of catching short range passes?
That's a great question. I don't think it hurts because I think Teddy Bridgewater has had some big games, has shown that he knows how to play. I'm not surprised that he won. And I've got Jerry Jeudy. I took a flyer on him in a couple drafts too, and I think this actually helps him. So to me, I do think I think it helps both of them. So I think overall the passing game is more on the upswing, and I'm happy to see that move.
Courtland Sutton did come out and just say, because as we know, he was injured most of last season for fantasy, right? So he came out already and says, there's not going to be a time limit for me. I feel good. I'm ready to go for the season. And so I actually do think that given the long range potential of Bridgewater, Sutton might be an intriguing person for us to really look at.
Yeah. Mac Jones looks like he has earned the right to be the Patriots week one starter. This all week, Cam Newton has missed because of misunderstanding with the COVID policy. Mac Jones continues to impress very, very much and actually might be a good stabilizing force within the team as well, too. Jim, I also want to talk with you. Kenny Galladay is not practicing again because of a hamstring injury. Are you even looking at him as you're looking at drafts?
I'm sure some people are looking at it. I'm not a Kenny Galladay fan, and I just think that his time in fantasy spotlight is gone. So I'm glad he's doing well, but I am passing on Kenny Galladay.
And last one, Jed, I say the last for last. Ryan Tannehill is placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. Thoughts on COVID and the players and everything like that? Because a lot of times I know you've been frustrated with Cousins.
Yeah, well, and that's what I was saying. this year we have to pay attention to COVID more than any others. And so if you have players who in your mind, you're like, they're just not going to be as disciplined. They're going to be going out and putting themselves in situations where they can get COVID or be exposed to someone who's been exposed to COVID. I just think you have to pay attention to that a little bit more. I think your bench space this year, you just got to be a little more protective. And you know, for example, if you've got a star running back you invested a first round pick in, you better make sure you have that handcuff for that running back.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good. Any other thoughts as we head over into our breakdown of the divisions here?
No, I know we're going to talk about NFC South. So I think that's a good conversation to have around Jameis Winston.
Yep. With that said, let me pull up my notes over here and let's go over to the NFC South. And guys, I'm going to have a little bit of dead air as I am going through all my notes over here. So if you can.
So Tommy's going to pull up the Saints, right? My new sleeper, or the sleeper that I really like, especially Winston's going to play, is Callaway, the wide receiver from the Saints. With Michael Thomas gone, or at least out for a while, you never know. He's a good player with a really good high ceiling and potential that might actually score some decent points for you. He could be this year's James Robinson.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, the passing game, you know, it's usually pretty prolific in New Orleans. And so you got to think there's a lot to go around there. And especially with, do we have any updates on Michael Thomas and how long we're thinking he's going to be out?
No. I think the last conversation that they came out with from the Saints is that he and head coach Sean Payton had some nice conversations, but they did not touch on anything. I did read a report from ESPN, though, where what they were saying is the problem with Thomas is he waited too long to have the surgery. Mm-hmm. And in order for this surgery to really heal, he's going to have to sit out for a while. And most likely the earliest he can come back is midseason, somewhere between week 6 to 8 at the earliest in order for this to heal well. Now he can come in a little bit earlier, but that's going to be detrimental for him as well too.
So he'll probably start on the PUP list. And so then we'll see. So that's a minimum of 6 games. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, that I don't think that's a bad, you know, both, was it Tre'Quan Smith and Marquise Galloway are the two options. I think you got to take a look, you know, especially for that first half of the year. And maybe that's the way to think about it is for the first half of the season, get some points out of them. And then when Thomas comes back, you got to think of dropping them or switching to someone else. But yeah, again, you probably can get them very cheap. You'll probably be able to get them in the 8th, 9th, 10th rounds. And that's not a bad sleeper pick.
The reason why I like Callaway more than Tre'Quan Smith is Smith has actually been the one that they've hyped quite a bit the last few years as being that guy after Michael Thomas, and he just hasn't fulfilled it, right? So here's my hope, right? Like, you bring in a Winston who's a gunslinger. You got Callaway who can run down the field. He's going to get some good long bombs, and, you know, he's going to get you some good, decent fantasy points is my thought.
All right, let's go over to NFC East as well, too. I'm going to start with the Washington football team. And I begin with this, the best journeyman quarterback ever in NFL history, Ryan Fitzpatrick. In 9 games last year, he completed 183 completions, 2,100 yards, 13 touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns, but he has 8 interceptions. Now, with the addition of McLaren, with Antonio Gibson, all of that stuff, how well do you think, how high are you going with the players? Jim, I'll start with you. Antonio Gibson seems to be being looked at least late first round, early second round. How high are you going on Antonio Gibson?
I mean, from what everybody is saying, right, you've got 2 potential studs who's going to be breakout players. One, you got Logan Thomas, who's the tight end for the Washington Redskins. And then the other one, they're thinking that Antonio Gibson is going to feed off of his rookie year and do really good. Some people even speculate he could be fantasy running back number 2 or 3 or 4 for fantasy this year, right? So I actually think that both of them are going to do pretty well, along with Terry McLaurin as well, too. The only issue I might have is Ryan Fitzpatrick has never fully finished an entire season where he's played. And so he'll do really well for 4 or 5 games, and then either he's out and gotten replaced or somebody else has come in as well too. So that consistency in quarterback would be the only hesitation that I would have.
Yeah, I agree with you both. I think, you know, both Antonio Gibson and Terry McLaurin, I think, are right at the outside edge of top 10 at their positions. So, you know, I think of the two, I think Gibson is the one who, you know, a lot of people are very high. So you may have to, he'll be right at the end of that first round, beginning of the second round is where you're going to have to pick him. Terry McLaurin, you could probably get more like in the third round, maybe into the fourth round. But as Jimmy said, I think Fitzpatrick is really not a starting quarterback for your team. You could use him as a QB2. But the issue is just, can he stay healthy? That's my only concern. But otherwise, this team is on the up and up, because also remember, and this is why I think Gibson over Terry McLaurin, this is an awesome defense. This is probably a top three defense. The scores are not going to be, they're not going to have to score a ton of points, which means the running game is going to be a big focal point.
All right, Jed, let me ask you a quick question. Let's say you had the number six pick in a 10-team league, right? Do you draft a Davante Adams or Ezekiel Elliott? Because you know when it loops around back to you in the second round, Antonio Gibson will not be there. Is he that high you consider drafting him with your number six pick?
That's a really good question. You know, he's right. So if you're, to me, you'd be having to decide between like a Aaron Jones, Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb would be right in there.
J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah. Of those, I might take it because there's a lot of upside within Antonio Gibson. And I feel like maybe Chubb to me, a lot of consistency. Aaron Jones, I really like. If either of those guys are available, I would take them over Gibson. But if it was between a Gibson and say a Jonathan Taylor or a Saquon Barkley, I'd probably take Gibson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jim, what would you do if you had the six pick?
You know, I honestly, if a Davante was there for the six pick, I would go after Davante Adams and then loop around and try to figure out a way to go after the Antonio Gibsons of the world, knowing he might not be there when I get him. But I do like Davante Adams because you know why? Because he's really consistent and you know what to get from him.
Got it. Logan Thomas, Jed, you've been high on Logan Thomas. Talk to me about Logan Thomas.
Well, you outbid me for him, which was so annoying. I was really so I picked Kyle Pitts in this league with Tommy, and then I wanted Logan Thomas as kind of a backup. I'll say this about Pitts, just connected to Logan Thomas, which is that there's a lot of hype around Pitts, but if you look historically at rookie tight ends, it's very difficult to have huge production. And so we're in a keeper league, and so I'm glad I have Pitts. Hopefully we'll have him for a long time. But if you do pick up Pitts, you might want to get a backup because there's a chance he's not going to be living up to the exact hype. He might be top 10, but maybe not like top 5. Yeah. Logan Thomas, on the other hand, I think he could be a real sleeper and could be top 5. I mean, this guy has all the tools. Breakout year last year. Fitzpatrick, you know, is going to need to have his safety net, and Logan Thomas will be there. And as I said, strong defense. It's going to be tight games, short passing game, and Logan Thomas can really feed off of that, I think.
Okay, so here's my argument for Logan Thomas and against Logan Thomas, right? So if you look at what Ron Rivera and their new offensive coordinator, Scott Turner, said during the draft, they were always going after speed. Speed was who they went after, right? So that's why they got Logan Thomas. That's why they signed Curtis Samuel. So they said that they are going to go long, and they're going to try to outrun some of their opponents. And so that's why, for me, if you have a lot of wide receivers who's always going downfield, you're going to need a couple guys like Logan Thomas who's staying around the quarterback, who's going to be able to get some of those short passes. The only issue is we also saw last year when Fitzpatrick was the quarterback for Miami that they were saying the same things for Gesicki, right? And so as we all know, everybody was drafting Gesicki pretty early, and he didn't do anything. And so that's my only fear with the Logan Thomas is he's being hyped up so much now. Like Gesicki, he might not end up doing anything by the middle of the year.
The one thing I did appreciate, if you listen to the most recent Adam Schefter podcast, he had one phrase. He says, follow the money. Logan Thomas would have not gotten that big contract if they did not believe in him. Last year, he had career highs in catches, 72, yards, 670, and touchdowns, 6. He was second on the team, and he finished PPR tight end 3 in 2020. So that might be a good case for Logan Thomas. With that said, Jim, let's start off with the Cowboys and move over Cowboys. Dak Prescott fully practiced. CeeDee Lamb is on COVID. Dak Prescott, do you have concerns about him? People are seeing him as the number 2 ranked quarterback behind Patrick Mahomes. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I don't agree with it. I think he's more, I mean, for me, the list is always going to be Patrick Mahomes, number one, Josh Allen, number two, Kyler Murray, number three, and then you got a toss-up between Lamar Jackson and potentially Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers around that, right? So those are my areas. Now, I like Dak Prescott. The injury scares me. And so even if he's going to be healthy for the start of the season, you're not really sure how long he's going to be. With that said, though, I do think that CeeDee Lamb is going to be a great fantasy player, especially if Dak Prescott's going to be playing.
Yeah. And, Jed, for you, a lot of times is Amari Cooper. How high is he on your draft? We talked about CeeDee Lamb. Everyone knows how great CeeDee Lamb is. First-round draft pick last year, Amari Cooper is still there, dropped a little bit, but how high is he falling on your list?
Yeah, I'm not drafting him at all. I didn't draft him last year either. And so it looks like on most boards, CeeDee Lamb is right around the 12th to 15th wide receiver, and then Amari Cooper is shortly after that. For me, I would have Amari Cooper outside of the top 20. Yep. So there's others that I would want. For example, Robert Woods, Julio Jones, Adam Thielen. I would take those guys over Amari Cooper.
For those who are listening, a lot of times, reputation alone, sometimes people are attracted by. There are some people who are not following the news, a CeeDee Lamb, all of that stuff. So you want to, in some sense, take advantage of those situations because Amari Cooper has always been the more popular, famous one. And so let those guys spend all of their money. Jed's right. I probably would avoid Amari Cooper.
Okay. So here's my thought, right? And this is the question I have. Am I crazy or I would not touch Ezekiel Elliott or a Saquon Barkley in any of my first rounds. I just don't understand why people would want them.
Jed, before you say that, let me just give you one stat that Jimmy said declined. Elliott's rushing attempts have declined in each of the last 3 years. His yards per game has also decreased every year since he was a rookie, and he's coming off the lowest number of carries and yards last season. Jed, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, so both of them, I agree. I don't like either Barkley or Ezekiel Elliott. Elliott, I think, is better than Barkley because of the touchdowns and because of the prolific offense there. Barkley, I just feel like the Giants' offense is just really holding him back in the quarterback play. I think both of those guys, to me, are really right at the 10th. Like, they're about the 10th, 9th, 10th rated running backs. I would consider them at the end of the first round, and then you're just hoping they produce better than that. But again, I really don't like either. And I also wanted to say on Dak Prescott, you know, he is dropping in some boards, if depending on your league. And again, he is definitely a top 10 QB. So I wouldn't draft him top five. But if he was sitting there as the eighth, ninth quarterback and you don't have your quarterback yet, Dak Prescott, I would take a chance on that. You know, to get it just depends on where you get him. I wouldn't spend, you know, like I said, one of the first five off the board. But after that, I would take a chance on him.
But here's I do agree with you. But if you're going to get a Dak Prescott, make sure you get a good backup, like a Tannehill or a Burrows.
Or like Roethlisberger. You can get Roethlisberger.
Yeah, Roethlisberger. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, remember our Dynasty League? And I was like, I wasn't even paying attention. Someone got Trey Lance for $2.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wasn't even paying attention. But I was like, that would have been a steal to get Trey Lance at $2.
Yeah. That was one of those things that if someone bidded Trey Lance, I went to grab something. I came back and said, it sold for $2. I completely forgot all about it.
Yeah,
that was one of the steals of the draft. At that point, I had already had Joe Burrows and Kyler Murray. So I was like, I can't think
of that. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, from a dynasty perspective, Trey Lance, pretty attractive.
Hey, now that guy has been, if especially for you two, he's been desperate for wide receivers. So he's willing to give up his quarterbacks, just so you guys know. All right, so the consensus amongst the three of us, do not draft Amari Cooper. And also Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, probably not, they're not very strong. You can find a lot of good younger players ahead of them before that. Let the other guys who aren't familiar with it draft them as well, too.
Okay, so I have one more thing to add, too. Here's the other things people were saying, and I don't know how much of a factor they will play. They said with a 17-game season this year, you're going to see a lot more players getting some rest during games because it's going to be a longer season. So for me, I actually think that you might see a Tony Pollard and then a Devontae Booker out in New York spelling these two guys. And so for me, I just don't like Elliott, nor do I like Barkley, even in the 10th round, because you want your first pick to hit and do well, right? So if I had a chance between a Davante Adams, a Calvin Ridley, Travis Kelce, who's going to be consistent, versus these other two, I'm going to go after those guys.
Yeah. I totally forgot that. So this season is going to be a 17-game season.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. Man, that's so funny, because I was just telling someone, a commissioner in a league, that I hate it when people play fantasy in the last week of the season. But now I'm realizing the 16th week is not the last week. It's the second to last week, which is fine. And for those of you out there who are new to fantasy, the reason you don't want that last week to play is because a lot of star players rest. If they're already in the playoffs, they don't want to risk the chance of them getting hurt, and that can really screw your team. So I like ending the season the week before the last season, mm-hmm. which is now week 16.
Yeah.
And in some sense, usually a lot of times your playoff is around last week of the season is week 14 for this year for many leagues. Yep. Then 15, 16, 17 is your playoffs. But there's going to be four buys. I'm going to bring up the teams in a minute and give you guys the buys so you guys are familiar with it, knowing that. But with that said, let's actually go over to the Eagles as well, too. Jim, let me ask you your thoughts. Miles Sanders, how high is he going on your list?
I guess it depends on how high Jalen Hurts is. There was a span of a few weeks there, last few weeks, where people were actually really thinking highly of Jalen Hurts. I don't know. I think he's somebody, if it was between a Jalen Hurts and a Justin Fields, I'd take a Justin Fields, especially from a dynasty perspective. But here's my thing. I think if Jalen Hurts does well, Miles Sanders will do well. Again, the only issue is he's going to most likely go in the second round, most likely go in towards the end of the second round, somewhere in the third round, right? And I still think there's a lot of better players out there than a Miles Sanders.
Yeah, I'll take the opposite approach, actually. I think Miles Sanders is going way too low. So he's been roughly in the 20th running back taken, depending on your drafts. And I just think that's too low. I think he should be in the top 20, around the high teens. And your point about Jalen Hurts is right. When Miles Sanders played with Jalen Hurts,
he did his well.
Numbers were very high. I think he averaged 17 to 18 fantasy points in games with Jalen Hurts, because that combination of Hurts's running action, you know, really takes the defense's attention, which opens up space for Miles Sanders. And so I personally think that, he could be not a sleeper pick, but he's a sneaky pick that could be available for you, like you said, in that third, fourth round. I wouldn't hesitate to pick Miles Sanders.
Yeah. Hey, just so you know, week 17, in the 17-game season, week 14 buys are Indianapolis Colts, Miami Dolphins, New England Patriots, and Philadelphia Eagles. For those who are aware of those are your teams going on by on your last week of the season. So something to at least think about when you're drafting, definitely something to prepare for as well, too. Jed, let me go with you. There's three wide receivers that really matter in Philadelphia: Devontae Smith, Jalen Reagor, Travis Fulcombe, and I probably would include Dallas Goedert as well, too. Besides Devontae Smith, do you like anyone else?
Yeah, I was going to say Devontae Smith is the interesting one, right? I mean, everyone talked about his size. They were worried about him being too small, and now he's injured, and so people want to see. I still have high hopes for the guy. I mean, his story is amazing, coming out of Alabama. And so that might be someone that I would watch, but am I going to draft any of these guys? Probably not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, similar to Dallas Goedert, right? So Dallas Goedert is going, right, like he's going towards the – last tier of some of these tight ends, where a Logan Thomas is, right? So if you're telling me Dallas Goedert versus a Logan Thomas, I choose a Logan Thomas. Now, Dallas Goedert, during the games he did play, he did actually decently well, but he got injured last year, and no one really knows what's going to happen to Zach Ertz. My guess is he's either going to be waived or he's still going to be traded.
Yeah. And no, I wouldn't be surprised if he was traded to Indianapolis. So that's something that you need to watch out for with some of the rumors that are appearing there. Going to the Giants as well.
Hey, did Carson Wentz start? Did Carson Wentz start back practice?
He did start practice.
There we go.
He is on track for week one.
That was a quick recovery.
That was a very, very quick recovery. Jim, going to the Giants, Daniel Jones. I drafted him last year. He was my starting quarterback. I dropped him pretty fast. All right, but I was able to get Josh Allen from Jimmy in a trade once I dropped Daniel Jones, so I was very, very good. Daniel Jones, no one is drafting. People are hesitant whether or not he could keep the starting job. But we talked a lot about Saquon Barkley. We don't like him in the first or second round. We'll let them pass. We'll let someone else draft them. Talk to me about the wide receivers. Kenny Galladay, you've expressed the fact that you don't like Kenny Galladay. How about Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton? What do you think of the wide receiver core?
No, I think I think both New York teams I'm going to try to stay away from. I mean, I think here's my thing, and this is how I look at it. There's certain teams, I think we've talked about it. The New York teams are the teams that I just stay away from. I don't want to draft them. I'm not even looking at them as well, too. Kenny Galladay, for instance, right? If you look at Kenny Galladay, where he's being drafted right now from an ADP standpoint, there's some other really decent wide receivers around that area, right? You still got a Cortland Sutton. You've got a Jerry Jeudy from Denver. You've got a Callaway that I might take a flyer on from the Saints. I mean, those are the guys that I'm going to try to go after before Kenny Galladay, and that's just my opinion on it.
Got it. Jed, Evan Engram last year played all 16 games for the first time in his career, finished in the top six in targets, voted to the Pro Bowl. I avoid Evan Engram. I don't know why people like him. Agree, disagree with me?
Evan Engram got voted to the Pro Bowl last year?
Last year?
Oh my goodness, that is a travesty. No, definitely not. He is not even in the top 15, in my opinion, at the tight end position. I think maybe he squeaks into the top 20. This guy's just not been durable. You know what? The skill set is there. It's just his durability. We've never seen him. Has he even ever finished a full season? I don't think so. So, no, I would say, like Jimmy said, there's a few teams, the New York team, Houston is another one that I'm just completely avoiding. I don't want any players from those guys.
Yep. Well, hey, look, I mean, we've covered the NFC East. Now let me go over to NFC South. Both of us, all three of us have a little time today, so we want to focus on the NFC South, starting with the Super Bowl winning Buccaneers. Jen, I'll start with you. Tom Brady, people were not drafting Tom Brady last year, but after his superb season and the fact that he came out and says, "We now have 1 year under our belt. We now know how everyone operates, what everyone's strengths are. Watch out." How high are you drafting Tom Brady?
And Tom Brady, every year you expect him to fall off a cliff, right? Like, you expect his production to drop. I think he's 44 years old. He's basically our age, guys. And he's out there playing with the best athletes in the world. It's phenomenal. I can't say that. You can't count him out. I think he's top 10. I think he deserves to be a starting quarterback in a 10-team league or a 12-team league. But I think he's at the very end of that. So I think if your strategy is to wait on a quarterback, you could do a lot worse than picking up a Tom Brady.
Or wouldn't you say a lot of times, Jed, from what I'm seeing in a couple of drafts, there are some people who are loving Tom Brady are drafting way too early as well, too.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely wouldn't touch him. Like I said, he should be around the 10th, 12th quarterback taken off the board. And so if you look at that area, it's right around Jalen Hurts, Matthew Stafford, Ryan Tannehill, although I would take Tannehill over Brady. But if you're looking at a Hurts or a Stafford, I think Brady's right in there with that mix. Matt Ryan, probably, you know, similar category.
Jim, now between all the running backs, Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones clearly is the younger ones and younger one and the better one to own. He did pretty well in the playoff run. The only problem with Ronald Jones that he gets in trouble for, fumbles and drops. He keeps losing favor with the coaches for costly fumbles and drops last season. With that said, is that someone that you're loving as well too? Because I tend to avoid Ronald Jones.
Okay, so were you guys surprised how much some people went after Ronald Jones for in our auction league? They actually paid, because for me, I'm like, it was like in Chris Carson's territory. And for me, I was like, that's a lot for Ronald Jones. I still think that he's going to be the workhorse. But my guess is Leonard Fournette will get quite a bit more of the goal line carries is my thought on it. But you also have the third piece. You got Giovanni Bernard, who the coaches seem to love. And I actually can see Ronald Jones declining this year from his production last year. And you see it more output from Fournette as well as Giovanni Bernard. By the way, did you just see that Adam Schefter just announced that Jameis Winston is the starting quarterback for the Saints?
That's pretty good.
Not surprised. I would have been shocked if it didn't come out that way. But I'll just say this for Tampa Bay. I actually avoid the running back situation. This is a passing team to me. The guys that I potentially could draft from this team are Tom Brady and Chris Godwin. Like that pretty much. And then Gronk on the outside. Gronk is really, in our league, he went undrafted. So you got it. He's really on that outside edge. But Chris Godwin, you know, this is a stud. We've talked about him before, ascension to number one, you know, over Mike Evans. He's the main guy that I would look at here on this team.
I'll disagree with you in a minute. But at the same time, hey, look, Giovanni Bernard is the James White of the situation. You kind of draft it when you're really down. You just know he's probably going to be dependable. Five catches here and there. But he might be decent as well, too. But he's someone to avoid as well, too. Jed, I would disagree with you. Mike Evans, I do tend to avoid because he's a little bit older as well, too. He did decent. Godwin's good. But my sleeper, somebody that is completely off everyone's radar, Antonio Brown. Man, look, a couple years ago, he was your number one wide receiver. He's had some bad years. He and Tom Brady gets along really well. He is now re-signed. Don't sleep on Antonio Brown. He is somebody I am picking up, and people are avoiding him, that you could get really, really cheap.
Hey, here's a prop bet we should talk about is the odds on Antonio Brown getting COVID before the end of the season. I would take that bet. Antonio Brown, OBJ, these are the guys that are, you know, going nuts and really uncontrollable outside of the locker room. And so there's a little bit of a risk there. But I hear you. Talent-wise, yeah. Antonio Brown was the number one wide receiver in all of football for a period of time. So,
but don't you think, okay, so you've got Mike Evans, right? The expectation is most likely Mike Evans is going to be a 1,000-yard receiver. You've got Chris Godwin, who has the potential to actually be the number one out of that group. And you got Gronk. I just think that with Antonio Brown, especially for the first half, yeah, he might do okay, but they're going to try to save him.